Okay, this morning, I really want to share from my heart this morning. Father's taken me on an amazing journey in the last year that's just a really loving journey, and we're still on it, but where he's been really showing me a new revelation of his love. And I just want to share just a few bits. Some of them are really still quite important to me, and I probably can't even share them yet. But some bits I will be speaking from my heart. And so I just want you to hear that. I don't know where it will go, but we'll see. Now, the topic I want to speak about is entitled Expressions of Love. Expressions of Love. And we see expressions of love all around us. Anyone got any good suggestions of where they've seen expressions of love? How do we express love? Give me some.
A hug.
That's a good one. Any others? Smile. You don't love much, do you? Sorry? Seeing it in people's eyes. There's another one over here. Clearing up after someone. Absolutely. Helping someone, spending time talking, great, giving gifts, being kind, telling them you love you, sorry, unconditional love, yeah, hugs, good, well, there's good examples there. See, I believe an expression of love is the most powerful and most freeing when it comes from a place of love. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm sort of suggesting that you can have expressions of love that don't come from a place of total love. Okay? So we can sometimes say things or do things to make ourselves feel better or earn someone's favor. So we're perhaps saying something because we think we ought to, but it's not coming from the place of love as such. It's coming because we want to feel good ourselves, or you know, or get favor from someone. For example, I mean, this is my big thing, Valentine's Day. I mean, not in that I do a big thing. In fact, I tend to go the opposite on Valentine's Day because I don't like all the commercialism. But you may buy flowers, you may buy cards for your wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend. But do you buy them because you really love them? I mean, hopefully you do. Or do you buy them because if you don't, you're going to get it in the neck? Because everyone else has, you know? We're sort of almost told to. Now, I mean, that's not a brilliant example, but you know, sometimes we do things because we don't want to let people down, which is good, or we don't want to, but that's more about ourselves rather than actually it's coming from a total place of love. Bit of fun. Anyone been in that situation where they've been in the card shop and walking around and wondering no card says what you really mean? I've been there before, spent hours. Anyway, so it's just a bit of lighthearted fun, but you get the point. There's another one as well that I just pick up, random acts of kindness. How many people have heard of that? You know, things like the Noise Project and all those things, they're all amazing and great things, but if we're not careful, they can become about getting a tick box, saying, yes, we've done it. We've done it. We feel good now. We've done our part for the year. We've cleaned up Clevedon Seafront. That is it. That's the tick box. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, and I'm sure we all do them for the right reasons. But it has to be from a heart that's wanting to express God's love and our love for others. An expression of love, as I said, is most powerful and freeing when it comes from a place of love. So it has to come from a place of love, and then it's powerful and it's freeing. So what is love? It's hard to define love sometimes. There's a lot of people have tried to do it in songs. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. You know that one? I want to feel what love is. See, that is why we have expressions of love, because expressions of love show us what love is. And if love if expressions of love don't come from the place of love, then they can be slightly skewed. They can be unreal. So we end up getting expressions of love, but they can be confusing. They can be hurting. They can hurt us. They can disappoint us. And they can sometimes damage us. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, there can be expressions of love, but if they're not coming from a place of love for that person, they can actually do the opposite thing. And there we get confused. And that's why we have a lot of hurt people. A lot of hurt people, because they're wanting that love. And actually, we all need love. That's the thing. We all need it. I was reminded of a story a few months ago. I was walking with Daniel across the Salt House fields in Clevedon. And we were chatting away. And I was talking, actually, and looked around, and suddenly I realized he wasn't there. I was talking to myself. And I looked back, and he had stopped by this family, and he had sort of knelt down. There's a small little kid, and he was chatting to them. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but I know that their faces lit up as he was saying, "What a wonderful family you are," and encouraging them. And, you know, what a lovely little, you know, boy is kicking around the football. And it just made me realize that, wow, you know, that the things we can say, the things that we can just express, if it comes from a place of love, brings something amazing. And that really challenged me. I was completely consumed in my conversation, not thinking about other people around me. I do that a lot, but I'm not saying I'm there yet. But if we want to heal and love people around us, then it must come from a place of love. And we can only do that from having revelations and experiences of God's love. And I like this phrase, constantly running into expressions of God's love. And I think that's what it's about. It's not just one experience. We may have had one experience of God's love, but we have to have constant experiences of God's love. We have to keep running into it over and over and over again. And that's why we spend time in worship and we focus a lot on God's love. You know, you might wonder why we do that. It's because we need to keep on seeing God's love. We need to keep experiencing God's love, because that's the way that we'll understand God's love, and that's what will change us. So that's why we give space to it. God reveals his love through the way he expresses it. It says, 1 John 4:7-9, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." That was an amazing expression of love. That was probably the ultimate expression of love, that he could do that. And it goes on to say, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God." So if we can live in love, if we can understand what his real love is by experiencing these expressions of his love, and we live in love, we live in God. And God lives in us. God is love. In the message it says, "God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives us." Permanent residence in a life of love. I like that. If we go right back to the beginning, in Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God." We have heard this several times preached here, that God is a relationship. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's an us. He's plural. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all humbly serving each other. Imagine before the world existed. So go right back. Before there was earth, before we were around, there was just God. That's what it says, "In the beginning, God." And they were enjoying perfect unity. They were enjoying each other. You know, they were fully satisfied. Do you know that? They were fully satisfied, complete joy and excitement. It was like, you know, this can't get any better. This can't get any better. It's perfect. So how do you think the thought of creating the world started? Because it was perfect. perfect unity, excitement, fully satisfied. God is love. You know, sometimes I think it's been put out that it started out of a need, or we need, something's missing in this relationship. We need to create God. We need to create people. We need to create. And that's not it at all. Do you know what? God made us out of a desire to share that love, out of utter generosity. It wasn't out of need. He didn't need think there was something missing. He was there, you know, the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were enjoying that moment so much that they wanted to share it. It was utter generosity. They wanted to share it. That was why. Isn't that amazing? Completely selfless. They had this crazy idea to create something in their own image. You know, the Father said, what about this? This would be a good idea of how we can share our love. Why don't we create something in our own image? And, you know, the Son goes, that's a great idea. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll get to work at it. You know, that's how it sort of works. So God had a dream, and his dream was family. That was God's dream. God's dream with us. That's how amazing, isn't it? God's dream. His dream, that idea, that concept was us. How amazing is that? And what's more, and this does me in every time I think about it, because he knows the beginning and the end. He knew what we were going to do. And he still made us. He knew how we were going to hurt each other and hurt him. And yet he still did it because he wanted to share, because he had a plan. And he's got a plan, and it still is the same plan. He hasn't stopped. It's still the same plan. It says in Ephesians 1, 4 to 6 in the Message, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. Wow, we are the focus of his love, guys. You know, we're important. If you don't think you're important this morning, you are important because you are the focus of his love. You are the focus of his love. That's why we sing this. That's why we want to experience God's love, because you are the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy by his love. You see, he had this plan to make us whole and holy. It wasn't to leave us at one place. He's got this plan to make us whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family. Long, long ago. Through Jesus Christ. He had the plan. He had it sorted out. What pleasure he took in planning this. That's what I'm saying. Back then, right back then, he had pleasure in planning it. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. We are the focal point of God's pleasure. We are the focal point of God's pleasure. He decided he wanted us to be a part of his eternal family. This isn't the Christian story. It's sometimes said that this is the Christian story. We tell it in a way that it's, you know, we have fallen and we need God. And we give it a formula and say this is the Christian story. You know, this isn't the Christian story. This is God's story. This is the story that he had started right at the beginning. You know, it's not the Christian story. We put that label on it. It's God's story right from the very beginning. It was his story about his family. And we, all of us, are part of the world's greatest story. The most important thing we can do is share in that love. Do you know what? The most important thing we can do in life is share in that love. Go after it. You know, there might be lots of other things that consume us. But the most important thing we can do is share in that love and be a part of expressing it outwardly to others. Yeah, we got to, you know, understand it, go for it, constantly run into it. That's what I like, run into his love, because yes, we will mess up. Yes, we will get things wrong. Yes, we will worry and get anxious about things, yet we won't understand things. But if we are running towards God, we will constantly run into his love. That's what I mean. We'll run into it and we'll experience something else. We'll get a new revelation of God's love, running into it. And to do that, we often have to humble ourselves and say, God, it's not about us, it's about you. Let his love mold us, shape us, heal us, free us. That's what life is about. It's not all about the other things. I like this saying, the world is the world. That's pretty obvious. It's straightforward. The world is the world. People work for money and chase pleasure, generally. I'm making big generalizations, but that's one of the big things. That's how the world goes round. People work for money and chase pleasure a lot of the time. What if we work for love and chase freedom? Now, I'm not saying we don't need money, but I'm saying the focal point, what we're doing, is not just about getting money to do this or do that or whatever, but if our focal point is actually we're working for love, to express God's love, to connect into his love, to see his love, to experience it again and again and again, and in doing so, we can express it outwards. If we're working for that, if that's our mandate, we're working for love, and we will see freedom in our lives, and we will see freedom in the lives of people around us. You know, we're in part of an amazing story, and we have an incredible part to play. You know, we read it time and time again, but John 3:16, it says, and this is in the message, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, that no one needs to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. You know, a lot of people have that. It frustrates me sometimes where people think it's all about, you know, God just wants to point these fingers. And a lot of, I'm afraid a lot of Christians just do that as well. But no, that's not what God wanted to do. He came to help, to put the world right again. That's what he came. And it's funny that, I say this, but the more I'm starting to experience God's love, and there have been some really intimate moments, but the more I experience God's love, the less I'm really caught up by the rules. The less I'm bothered about the rules. and do you know what I mean by this and doing that and doing that? They're sort of not that important. And I'm not saying, hear my heart in this, I am not saying that we shouldn't, you know, we could do everything that we want to and forget everybody else. That's not what I'm saying, because actually our heart is to serve other people. But it doesn't become the focal point. Here's a quick example. I get some of my ideas from when I'm in the shower. I don't know about anyone else, but yeah, you're the same, aren't you, James? Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know who's been in the shower before, and your shampoo or your shower gel runs out. Yeah, we've probably all had that, you know. Oh, no, my shower gel has run out. You're all wet. Yeah, you know that, and you think, right, next time I will get out my new shower gel and I will put it in the shower so I don't have that same occurrence. Well, what happens to me is I get back in the shower, all wet, and then suddenly, oh, no, I forgot to replace my shower gel. Well, luckily, I have an amazing wife. And there was one of these occasions when I thought that moment, you know, that moment, oh no, I've forgotten to replace my shower gel. And I looked down, and there it was, a new shower gel. And at that moment, I probably haven't told Kay this, but I felt completely loved and blessed right at that moment, because I thought she'd noticed and she did something for me. And you know, that was just amazing. And what's more, but before I got into the shower, I was having this discussion with a conversation with the Holy Spirit. I often do this when I wake up, is have little talks with God. I don't know if anyone does that, but I do. And He was reminding me of an occasion, or I was reminded of an occasion when years and years ago, I really, really felt the power of the Holy Spirit, like his power, so much that my whole body was shaking. You know, I knew it was happening. You know, there was something going on. And I said, what was that back then? That hasn't happened for a long time. And at the moment of realizing how loved I was by the shower gel being there, the Holy Spirit whispered to me and he said, That wasn't about me showing you my power, where you thought it was. That was me loving you because I was protecting you at that moment from some spiritual bombardment or something that happened. And the whole situation opened up and I realized, yes, that's exactly what it was. And it wasn't that, you know, and I felt I was able to receive that word because I'd received a sort of an expression of love from, I don't know if that makes sense, but it felt like the Holy Spirit was there at that moment, able to speak to me, because I felt that I had just received an expression of love from, well, it was my wife. But and I think that's sometimes the same thing, is that actually when we express love to other people, we open up a window that the Holy Spirit comes in, and he will reveal his love. So isn't that amazing? So that was a great example. You know, in this church, we are not growing a community of consumers. I'm sorry. If you think you're here just to hear a message or feel good and then go away, that's not what we're about. You're welcome. You're welcome. But that's not what we're about. We are here to grow a family, a community that expresses God's love. When we love each other, we become healthy and we learn to do life together. We change the atmosphere. We bring God's kingdom to earth. We create successful communities around us. And this isn't complicated. It's not complicated. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, he sent them out quite early on. I don't know if you, in Matthew, he sent them out to go and help the lost and all of that. They weren't the finished product at that point. They hadn't learned it all. They weren't, you know, but you know what? I believe that they knew that they belonged. They had experienced something of the love of Jesus. And that's why, you know, I think it's the same for us, is when we know that we belong, then we can, and we've experienced a bit of God, understand a bit of God's love. We might not have got it all. We might not have worked everything out. But as we belong to God and we belong to each other, then we are able to carry God's presence. Yeah, we are able to carry the presence of God out and heal other people. We don't have to get it all sorted. It says in Matthew 10, 5-9, he said to the disciples, don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously. So who treated them generously? It was Jesus. He showed them a bit his love. This generous love. So live generously. And then later on it says, don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. I thought that's quite good. We don't have to have all the bits in place before we start. I mean, I like to have everything organized and planned before we start. But it says, you don't need it. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. I love that. We are the equipment. Somebody who's experienced God's love really genuinely is the equipment. It's all God needs. Okay. I've just asked a few people to come and just share just a word or two, because I really believe that I don't want you just to hear me. I want us to do something practical. I want us to have a practical expression of God's love. So rather than just hearing from me, I've asked people to go away and pray and ask God what he says, and I've asked them to come here and just share what he is saying. So from that place of love, and just to share with you. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't even know if anyone's going to stand up. I might, you know, come and do that. I have no idea. I've just asked a few people. Because I wanted them to come and just share what's on their heart, what the Father's saying. I haven't really prepped them at all, apart from just that. So I just want you to take a moment. As any of those people that I've said got something they want to share, and that you know who you are? Yep, Kate. Okay, and then Chris. Come on up. If we've got a microphone. Kate, do you want to quickly...
I was just thinking about God's love, and this song, God speaks to me a lot by songs, and this song keeps coming back to me time and time and time again. I won't sing it to you, but I'll read it to you. You'll probably have heard it on the radio or whatever, and I just believe it's something that God's saying to us. If I can read it. it says, all of me loves all of you. Love your curves. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, because even when I lose, I'm winning. Because I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. And I just really believe that that's what God's saying to us. He just loves us, every little bit of us. It doesn't matter all the kind of rubbish and everything else, that's not the important part. And that actually he'll give absolutely everything to us. And all he asks in return is us. Just us. And in some ways for us that seems really, really difficult. But actually it shouldn't be because of just how much he's willing to give us. So, just take that step if you haven't already. Or if there's still parts of you that you're kind of holding on to because you think, oh, I'm a bit ashamed of that. Don't be. Give it all to God, because actually he loves you so much and he's willing to give absolutely everything to you.
I'm actually butting in because mine kind of follows on with what Kate has just had. And God asked me to share an experience that happened to me, and that is actually that song came on the radio, and Rebecca, my daughter, she said, "Mummy, this song's all about you," and it was that song, and I sobbed in the car. I couldn't get out of the car. We had to all sit in the car and listen to the whole song. And I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because I got that revelation of how God saw me, how my daughter saw me, but also how God just said, this is how I see you. I sobbed, didn't I, Rebecca? Absolutely sobbed. But do you know what? It's the difference. God just said to me, it's the difference between having I love you in your in my head to I love you in my heart. Susie's my best friend. Susie, come here. Susie's my best friend. And when I say to her, if I said to her, I love you, she'd be like, oh, yeah. But when I say, I love you, always need for a hug. This is I love you. And this is what God does to us when he says, I love you.
Thank you. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you. Two things to say, really. One of them, a bit of a testimony about where we are and how I see God's hand as a journey that we've been on. Claire and I as an expression of God's love for us, but also often when we talk about love, it kind of moves in my heart a little bit that the impression that we get because of the society that we live in, that love is a very female-dominated subject, but actually that's not God's heart for it is that, but it's also passionate and exciting and adventurous, and it's manly, and it's not fluffy pink, not just fluffy pink romantic hearts to each other, but it's come on as well. And I think for me, that's how I see it, that's how I receive it. And for me, I'm quite a boy. I'm learning to talk about emotions and feelings and things that I previously associated with things that were purely girly, but I still need it to be received that way, and God's heart is for both. And yeah, that's something that often comes up in my heart when we talk about love is come on men, let's not assume that this is just for the girls, but let's take this as men, as adventurers, as people that are boldly stepping out and loving in a risky way. That's how God loves us. And I don't know if I need to share the other thing actually, but I will. For the last few, probably 3 or 4 years, we've been in a situation at home where our house has not been able to fulfill what we need it to for the long haul, because we're growing a family. And it was tied in with my job, and we managed, because we had children quite late, to save quite a lot of money, two people working. We had some spare. We accumulated some, inherited some, and had enough money to build an extension on the house to make it what it was. And my boss is a very fair and godly man, and he said, well, if you're going to build on my house, I'll pay you back over a long time. But then we tried to get planning permission for the extension, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and we got turned away and turned away, and it turned into an 18-month, two-year process of very trying period, because it was seemed like what God wanted, but it wasn't happening, and we couldn't understand it. And I could say we prayed on our knees every day together for an hour, hand in hand, but that's called lying, so I won't say that. But we were praying often that, you know, we're pushing this, and I don't feel you closing the door, but it's not happening. Where are we going? And through, after a certain period of time, landlord boss came to me and said, I think I've decided that instead of paying you back, I'll sell you the house, and then you can do what you want with it, and then we'll work out a buyback thing, which is normal. And if we'd got permission at the beginning, which is when we wanted it, we wouldn't have had any money to buy the house. So we're now in a position where we own the house. We've worked out a way where we can still build the extension, and it's kind of where we wanted to be and where we thought God wanted us to be. But it's been a journey, and I really feel that God's hand has been on that, and it's a very, I do feel very loved and blessed and watched over, because if we'd have done it on our own, we'd have run ahead and got it wrong. So only God knew that, and that's kind of been a journey that we've been on, which we're very thankful that we are where we are, and we're not at the end yet. We haven't built the extension. We're about a few weeks away from knocking something down, and then it'll really feel like we've started, but yeah, that's where we are, so.
Excellent. Well, we're going to just, in a few minutes, we're just going to take communion before we finish, which is, we hadn't thought there was going to be communion. I hadn't thought there was going to be communion this morning, but actually, I think it's really powerful. I think it's meant to be, because that is one, we're just thinking about God's great expression of love by taking communion, and I want it to be a bit of a response, so that as you do take, take the bread and the wine, that you do just connect in with God's amazing love. See that as an expression of how much He loves you. Someone, Judy, did you have something you want to share? Yeah, come up.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. See if I can hold it. Right. This is it, then. This is called You. You're lovable, but like the dove of peace, uncatchable, untrainable. Your heart is never empty. It's always full. You're believable, and better still, you're unbelievable. You promise the inconceivable,
You're approachable and resourceful, unforgettable and inexhaustible. You are unmissable, kissable but sensible. You're reliable and undeniable. Your ideas are always triable. You're reachable, dependable, and your love is inexpendable, incomparable, unforgettable. You're unbreakable, unshakable, totally unmistakable. To me, you are irreplaceable. You're immovable, renewable, and your plans are always doable.
Amen. That's lovely. Thanks, Pete. There's a challenge for the music team, yeah. The Lord spoke to me, actually, and I just wanted to, just before we do this, is there anyone, are there people here who've had, quite recently, like, a big, like, bill through, like, you know, that they can't pay, that they're struggling to pay this bill? You don't have to, because if there are, I just believe that God wants to say to you that you can trust him. It might be a fearful place at the moment, but you'll trust him. And, you know, it might be something that it's hard for you to sort of put your hands up and say at the moment. But I'd like to pray with you afterwards. So just come and speak to me. I just want to pray because I really believe that you can trust God to meet your needs. And I just want to stand with you because we don't want people in fear and in a place where they're in turmoil over it. So.